Out of reverence to Christ and a rehearsal of the resurrection, I invite you to please rise. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. The 25th Psalm. Many years ago, I was on a backpacking trip with high schoolers and other Young Life leaders beyond Malibu, the Young Life camp in British Columbia. We had a goal in mind, to ascend the peak of Mount Albert. It was a clear goal, but the path is long. First of all, you had to drive to Canada. You had to get through the border. And then in Vancouver, you had to get on a ferry boat and go for an hour winding westward till you get to the dock on some island. And then from there, you get in a rental van and you drive another hour and a half of a very windy road and you end up in Egmont. From there, you get on the Malibu Princess, which is a mid-sized boat carrying all the campers and various people who are going out to the remote location for the week. So you get on that boat, and then you head on out, and eventually you get to the regular Malibu Young Life camp, and then from there you have to take a little, looks like a D-Day landing ship. It brings the front comes down, and you load up, and the front comes up, and then off you go even further north to base camp for Beyond Malibu. If that wasn't enough, then you actually have to put on the backpack and hike for days and days and days and days to get to the peak. I think peak day was day 4 or 5 out of 7 or 8 in the mountains. But the path became increasingly treacherous. We had a clear goal and our guides had an intended path, but it was late in the summer, and as the summer melts the snow, the crevasses begin to open up and you don't have quite the snowpack you need to have many routes available up the mountain. And so by the time we were trying to ascend the peak, we were going this way and then that way, roped to each other with our ice axes in hand, following the guide, but the guide would stop and reach out his pole and test the ground ahead. No, let's go this way and that way. And eventually it became clear we were not going to reach our goal. There was not enough time in the day to peak Mount Albert. And so we pulled off to an outcropping of rocks and had a little something to eat and to make another plan. And ultimately it was decided it was too late in the day. And so now we had to turn around and make the same circuitous route back down to safer snowfields. Well, we were chasing daylight at that point, and so then we get to a nice snowfield where we can spread out side by side, roped together, and just run across this field as fast as you could in snow boots and snow. And we felt like we were in a scene from Braveheart or something. We were literally crying out freedom and running through the snow. But the sun is beginning to go behind the peak, and we were losing our traction on the snow because it doesn't take long for that ice to slick up even further. We get back to the camp, and we realize there's not enough to go on to try again the next day. We were going to come all that way to Mount Albert, and Mount Albert was going to stand victorious against us. We didn't reach the goal. And that was a disappointing moment in an otherwise incredible trip. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. That's often attributed to the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. The actual exchange goes like this. Alice says to this cat grinning in the dark, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" Well, that depends on a good deal on where you want to get to, said the cat. I don't much care where, said Alice. Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. Well, so long as I get somewhere, Alice added as an explanation. Oh, you're sure to do that, said the cat, if you only walk long enough. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. All our paths are hindered love or aimlessness. We have goals sometimes, but there are hindrances along the way. Sometimes it's out of our control. It could be the weather. It could be the timing, so that even were we to want to reach the peak, we just can't get there safely. But then there are, of course, our own limitations of body and spirit in trying to reach a goal. The writer of Hebrews talks about running the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, but the author speaks first of the weight that we have to throw off and of the sin that so easily entangles. So many of our paths are hindered love. So many of our other paths are simply aimless. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we don't know the way. Sometimes we may know the way, but we find within ourselves mixed motives. Or we observe the paths of others and say, you say this is your goal, but do you really think this is the way you're going to achieve what you set out to do? And if you don't have a goal, we have the pressure to at least look like we're headed somewhere. You know, look alive there. At least look like you know what you're doing. Kind of like when a duck is swimming. It looks peaceful above the water, and below it's just paddling like crazy. And sometimes we feel like whether the path is hindered love or quite aimless, sometimes it can seem like God is a Cheshire cat grinning in the dark. And we don't know why. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. How do we keep, O Lord, your covenant and your testimonies? We hear once more his covenant and his testimony. All his paths. We observe the way of Jesus, who descended to human flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit, who was dunked in the river to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, who was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested, who then declared the kingdom of God, repent and believe the good news, his word becoming for the hearer its own baptism of spirit and fire. And he delivered up his spirit on the cross, seemingly in defeat. And he was delivered from death by that same Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father. All your paths, Lord Jesus, are a suffering love and a saving grace. We heard this in the letter from 1 Peter, that Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you, deliver you to God. All his paths mark out the way to the cross and deliver the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. Steadfast love, the word is chesed. It means commitment to the beloved. It's not a feeling of love. It's the commitment for the beloved. And the faithfulness of God, the word is emet, our third son's name. Emet, which means the faithfulness or the trueness of God's commitment. All your paths, O Lord, are chesed commitment and emet truth to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. We didn't ascend Mount Albert, but on another Beyond Malibu trip with mostly a different group of kids, we made it to the peak of Mount Perks. We covered the same miles getting to Canada and getting from boat to van to boat to base camp to days of hiking and ascending the peak. And it came time to actually ascend the peak, and we were thrilled. And getting up to the peak of Mount Albert, we looked at the scene. It was gorgeous. We had actually arrived. The path led where it intended to go. And then a fog completely descended on the peak. We couldn't see a thing. We had a glimpse and then nothing. We couldn't see a thing. But the problem was, we weren't anywhere near our base camp. We actually had to get somewhere else besides the peak of the mountain. Even having reached our goal, that actually wasn't the real goal. The real goal was getting back to the tent and the sleeping bag and to dinner. Well, the fog overcame us, but we had a guide. We had a guide who went before us, and he knew the general way, and he cut his steps in the snow down, down, down. We knew it was a pretty wide snow field that we ascended to the peak, but we had to find the right path down. And so down he goes, till he's just a distant voice, and he says, "Ready." Well, now, what are we ready for? Here's the way to get down the mountain. You slide. You sit down and you just slide off a mountain peak. And you just go as fast as momentum will carry you. And we had practiced this in snow camp, and along the way we played with these kinds of snow slides, but never off of a peak of a mountain in the fog where you can't see a thing. And we know that when we hear his word, when we reach to the guide where we're supposed to begin to arrest our fall, he's going to say, "Arrest, arrest." And when you hear that word, you, as you're sliding, you have your axe in your hand, and when you hear the word arrest, you turn, dig that axe into the ice, and then you turn around and get your feet facing the mountain and start kicking your toes into the snow to stop yourself. That's the plan. You do that in the fog, listening only for the voice of the guide to say, "Arrest." Well, this is what we did, one after another. And it was an incredible thrill, as you might imagine, to blindly slide off of a mountain and go as fast as you can reach sliding down a hill. And boy, were your ears open, just listening, waiting for that word. And when you hear the word arrest, it's like the word repent. You hear that word arrest and you turn around. There's no other choice. You don't even have to think about, okay, what was I supposed to do when he says arrest? I mean, everything in your life has been waiting to hear this word from the fog. And you hear the word, and you turn around, and your fall is arrested. And now you can safely walk the rest of the way down. This is the power of God's word. Let us run the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And this Jesus who's gone before us, his path is steadfast love and faithfulness. And even in the midst of the fog, when the goals are clear, we need to get down, but the way is unclear, how and when, he promises to speak to us. He promises his word will get us home. The power of the word produces the arresting response. And this Lord, this guide, continues to speak to us today. The kingdom has come near once more. Christ among us in his word and in his gifts. The word speaks to us today and says, "Arrest. The kingdom has come near. Arrest and believe the good news. Come with me down into the waters. Walk with me into the wilderness of testing. Hear my word when there is nothing but wild animals. All the way to heaven is heaven, because he has said, I am the way." St. Catherine of Siena. All your paths, Lord Jesus, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. Amen.